Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's January 2018, and you're listening to episode 55 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Jimmy Butts. Jimmy holds an A.B. in Bible and B.A. in Christian ministry. He has ministered to adherents of African-American religions for more than 10 years, and he is currently completing a Master's of Divinity in Islamic Studies. In the volume 40, number 6 issue of the Christian Research Journal, Jimmy has written our cover feature article called Malcolm X and the Christian Ethic of Violence. Jimmy, it's good to have you on.
It's good to be here with you.
Well, today we happen to be recording on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so I think it's very appropriate that we're having this discussion about Malcolm X. And I just want to ask you, how is Malcolm remembered in African-American popular culture?
Yes, that's a good question. Thank you. So Malcolm X is often seen as a cultural hero. After growing up and listening to hip hop music throughout my whole life, I've noticed that there are many songs that sample speeches from Malcolm, and there are many references and quotations of Malcolm in rap music itself. And so Malcolm X has become like a cultural icon or a cultural hero, like one of our one of the people who actually fought for our equal rights. And so Malcolm, although he's a controversial figure, most, I would say, would look at him in some type of positive light as a person who was fighting for our equality. So, yes.
And how is he controversial? I mean, I know that there's just a lot of different views about Malcolm X. How would you describe the controversy about who he was?
Yes. So what many think he was controversial based on his approach to the race issue in regards to how African-Americans should respond to the violence that was carried out against them. But then also some of his religious views about white people in the beginning of his ministry. He viewed them as the devil. And so some of his views were viewed as radical. And so as opposed to Martin Luther King Jr.'s view of being a little more loving and welcoming to people of all races.
So how did he specifically, how did Malcolm X proselytize African-Americans, and how does that impact, you know, culture today?
Yes. So one of the things that Malcolm X was responsible for was the large spread of the Nation of Islam across America in many different places. And one of his tactics was that he would gather a few of his fellow Muslims, and they would stand outside of black churches, and they would strategically be there during times where the churches would be letting out. And so him and his men would be there, and they would present their message. They would have like little pamphlets for people to read that would critique certain things that they know that oftentimes is stated within the churches. And so I think that is very relevant for us today, because you see members of groups such as the Nation of Islam or even the Black Hebrew Israelites, they have adopted this same type of tactic. So I serve as a pastor at a local church here in Louisville, and we've had to personally ourselves remove Hebrew Israelites from our property who were passing out some of their flyers and waiting for our members to come out of the church. And so this particular blueprint of how to reach African Americans that was practiced by Malcolm has been adopted even today. And I think that's something that we have to take into consideration.
I'd like you to describe kind of Malcolm X's upbringing and some of the important things that might have influenced his particular ethic. Can you describe those to us?
Yes, absolutely. One of the interesting things about Malcolm is that that racial violence had touched his family multiple times. So, for example, his father was killed by a version of the Ku Klux Klan during that time. I believe one of his uncles, they were killed. His home as a young boy was burnt down. And even later on in life, when he was an adult, his home was burnt down as well. And this was oftentimes connected to groups that, adhere to white supremacy. But also, you know, his family was stripped and separated after the death of his father. His mother was seen as incompetent. And so the family was separated and they were sent into foster homes. And so this had a huge impact on Malcolm's view of white people in general, but also how he felt that the issue of racial violence should be addressed. And so he grew up seeing being the recipient of this racial violence and responding in love, but not seeing any type of his issues were not being redressed. So, yes.
You mentioned a little bit earlier about Martin Luther King and his views about nonviolence. How did Malcolm X in particular think about nonviolence and those who taught it, like Martin Luther King Jr.?
Yes. So Malcolm, he felt that nonviolence was being taught as a trick to cause Black people to be defenseless. Actually, he would go as far as saying that those who taught nonviolence were criminal because they would cause people to just receive violence being done to them. And for example, there was a church bombing that was done during this era of the civil rights movement. And Malcolm criticized how men would allow this thing to happen without any type of response, and saying that we should simply love our enemies. And so Malcolm had a strong view about people, especially African Americans, who taught this nonviolent position as well. He would say that they were tools of white people to cause Black people to be defenseless. So, for example, he would use these particular descriptions to speak about Martin Luther King Jr. Although he had a reluctant admiration for Martin Luther King Jr., at the same time, he felt that the thing that Martin Luther King Jr. was teaching was actually a hindrance to the Black struggle. And so he felt that any African American who taught nonviolence was a traitor to their race.
So did he have a relationship with Martin Luther King Jr. and how did they relate to one another during that civil rights period?
Yes. So Malcolm, as I said, he had a reluctant admiration for King. They met on one occasion, at least that's what has been historically recorded. And I think there's an actual picture with them together at that meeting. And so he oftentimes wanted to meet with Martin Luther King Jr., but Like many other people during that time, King would try to ignore Malcolm because he felt that Malcolm's position would hinder his reputation as a nonviolent direct action advocate. And so although Malcolm tried to seek out King, King oftentimes avoided Malcolm because he saw Malcolm as, or at least his position, as a hindrance to the movement.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Jimmy Butts, who has written a feature cover article called Malcolm X and the Christian Ethic of Violence in the Volume 40, Number 6, December 2017 issue of the Christian Research Journal. To read Jimmy's article, please subscribe to the journal. For the month of January 2018, we have a special subscription rate of $25 for a 6-issue subscription, which is normally $39.50. So you'll want to take advantage of this special offer, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We were just talking about the differences between Malcolm X's and Martin Luther King Jr.'s views regarding violence and nonviolence. Can you explain the complexity of Malcolm X's ethic of violence? And I know that he held to both self-defense and retaliation. So can you differentiate those in his views for us and just kind of give us just an insight into how he thought about the ethic of violence?
Yes. So he had three different aspects of his ethic of violence, one being self-defense, which was to say that African-Americans should be able to defend themselves from any attack from anyone who would pose a threat to them. But Malcolm also had a view of revolutionary violence, which he believed that African Americans could not receive justice under the current system of America, and therefore they should take up arms to overthrow this system. But also, Malcolm believed in retaliatory violence. And this was the idea that if the Ku Klux Klan, or if anyone would come to a black neighborhood and harm someone or kill them, that black people should go to a white neighborhood and kill someone as well. And so how he would differentiate the idea of self-defense and retaliation is, you know, the idea of self-defense is that if there is a present danger, that the danger is here before me. And I'm defending myself from this present danger. But the idea of retaliation deals with that I have received harm. And therefore, although the threat is not still present with me, I will go to where I believe that violence came from and pay them back. And so this idea as an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Well, Malcolm X, you explained, was part of the Nation of Islam. He was a Muslim in that tradition. And how did his view of violence differ from Elijah Muhammad, who is like the authority within the Nation of Islam? How do they differ in their views of violence?
Yes. So Elijah Muhammad had a more conservative view of violence, and he would teach that although we as African Americans should be prepared to defend ourselves, he would say that we should not break any laws and that we should not try to have like a revolution against the current system, but to work within the system as it is now until we can free ourselves, and God would be the one who would deliver us and pay back our enemies. In contrast, however, Malcolm, even when he was in the Nation of Islam, he felt that black people not only should defend themselves, but that they should also, when danger or when they have received a loss for example, someone is killed or anything like that, that they should be able to go and retaliate and to, you know, be on the front line of violence instead of waiting for violence to come to them. So that would be one of their biggest differences.
How would you help Christians to understand, especially, you know, in light of his views? I mean, he has a certain appeal within the African-American community, but how would you contrast his views with the biblical view of how you approach an ethic of violence and how you reconcile this whole idea of retaliation as he sees it? You know, what, how does a Christian worldview differ from his worldview, from Malcolm X's worldview?
Yes. So the Christian worldview would differ because the Bible teaches us that we should not repay evil for evil. And if our enemy, you know, harms us, that, you know, we should turn the other cheek. This is one of the teachings of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And so while Malcolm believed in an eye for an eye and that we should pay people back, the biblical view says that we should allow God to pay back when someone harms us. So although the biblical view would allow for self-defense, but the biblical view would not allow for us to go back and repay a wrong done to us. This would be against the Christian view of love.
And how did Malcolm X see his role in the civil rights movement? I just wonder about that, especially today, because it's Martin Luther King Day. Did he see himself in a specific way during that time period?
Yes. Actually, Malcolm, believe it or not, he saw himself as he tried to push people to Martin Luther King Jr.'s side. So he saw himself as a radical alternative that people. So he would simply say that if you don't accept Martin Luther King Jr.'s view, this is what you're going to have to look for. And so he, you know, consciously saw himself as the figure, as like the warning that, hey, you don't want to accept Martin Luther King Jr. Well, this is what you can get. And so he saw himself as seeking to force people into the more peaceful route. And that's, I think, is something that a lot of people did not know about Malcolm.
And finally, what are some ways in which people can effectively, you know, dialogue with those people who hold to his view? In other words, people who are critical of Malcolm X's views of violence. What's the best way to interact with those who would hold to his views or find his views attractive?
Yes. So I would say that we should start with a biblical worldview and demonstrate how God, you know, is the one who is sovereign and he is the one who created us. And therefore, God has the right to take life and give life. And so any unauthorized taking of life is sinful. And, you know, the Bible does not give us the freedom to play judge and jury. And so I would simply explain to people that, you know, although we can defend ourselves, the Bible calls God as the chief judge, and he is the one who will right every wrong and wipe every tear from each person's eyes.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Jimmy. So, Jimmy, sausage or bacon?
Actually, neither. I do not eat pork.
Wow. Well, that's a fun fact. Books or movies?
Books all the way.
And what's a book you're currently reading?
Actually, I'm reading right now. It's called The Life of Muhammad. It is the earliest written biography about who Muslims say the Prophet Muhammad.
I'm sure that will help you in your studies. And what's an interesting thing that's happened to you in the past month?
So yes, my daughter was just dedicated actually this past Sunday. So we're very happy about that. So she is 8 months old, and Selah has been dedicated to the Lord this past Sunday.
Well, that is a very interesting and exciting thing to happen, that's for sure. Well, thanks, Jimmy, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Jimmy Butts has written a feature cover article called Malcolm X and the Christian Ethic of Violence in the Volume 40, Number 6, December 2017 issue of the Christian Research Journal. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal for the month of January 2018. We have a special subscription rate of $25, and normally a six-issue subscription is $39.50. To subscribe online, visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media. Like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes and rate and review our podcast. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank is also streaming live each week on Facebook and YouTube, so check equip.org for dates and times. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's new audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.